Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, and welcome to the 438th edition of the Feuerstein's Fire American Soccer Show. I'm your host, Daniel Feuerstein. I'll give you an American perspective of our clubs, leagues, players, national team, and other fabulous moments. You can get your daily reading from me and other writers over at OnceAMetro.com and the rest of the SB Nation family of websites. Come on in. Chat room is open. You can talk to me, talk amongst yourselves if you like. If a question for me, I'll try to answer it to the best of my abilities. You know, as we are about to finish up another season of Major League Soccer, we're finishing up another season of the USL Championship League. National Independent Soccer Association is going on right now at the moment, obviously, and good luck to them in their season, and hopefully it'll be spectacular and it will also be successful. We have to look at what is going on with a certain American player who has made the move, leaving the Bundesliga of Germany, and now having an opportunity playing for Chelsea of the English Premier League, and that, of course, is the one and the only Christian Pulisic. Now, before we go crazy and before we assume that everything's on the right track, something has to be said, and it's best if I say it, because what we are hoping for in the Premier League is that they look at American players, not just American players who can play goalkeeper, not just American players that can defend well or be in midfield defensively. We are looking at players who can be technical and attacking wise, do well with the ball. That man right now, off to a hell of a roar in these last two matches for Chelsea, is none other than Christian Pulisic. And we have to take it with a grain of salt. Now, I'm not here to poo-poo it. I would never do that. I'm not here to tell you this is just a blip on the radar, because it's not. But we have to understand, as American fans of this game, the American player still has plenty of work to do. There is still plenty of work that the American player needs to do to play abroad. So far, attacking players like Josh Sargent, and the one who was, of course, given that opportunity originally in Germany, was Christian Pulisic, playing over at Borussia Dortmund until Sancho took over his spot. We have to understand that when you're looking at Americans who are technically gifted, great attacking prowess, has that imaginative mind of what they want to do with the football, that they have to go out and they have to prove it, match in and match out. This is how it works. Doesn't matter what sport it is. It doesn't matter how it gets done. It does not matter what the situation entails. The truth is this, is that it has to be done on a nightly match-by-match basis. Because if he cannot do it, then he'll be considered a failure in the Premier League. Just chuck another American to the woodshed or into the woodpile, that American attacking players cannot do it in the Premier League. And the other thing is this. And it has to be said here. We all want him. We all want him to be successful. We all want him to do well. We want him to basically tear down the Premier League, torch the net as much as possible, and show all of England and the world why this man is probably right now one of the most talented attacking players the United States has ever produced. And at the same time, we must show patience with him. There has been way too much bragging, way too much boasting, and to be honest, way too much assumption that a player with his capacity and caliber is going to be the next greatest thing since sliced bread. We can say Landon Donovan, but we really can't, and I'll tell you why, because Landon Donovan went to play for Everton on a loan deal because he would always return to MLS and just play for the Galaxy. He probably wanted to go and play abroad permanently, but he couldn't. Whether it's by MLS or by the Galaxy or by some other way, Landon Donovan played the majority of his club career with the Galaxy. And that's fine. I don't have a problem with that. Even though, truth be told, others find that to be a problem because this is a guy that was so talented that they probably wasted his talents remaining in MLS. Well, right now, we don't have to worry about that with Landon Donovan. He's already retired, and now he'll be part owner of that San Diego Loyal Club in USL Championship League. But all I'm saying is this. We have seen American players attempt to play in England, whether it is an attacking player, whether it is a defensive player, whether it is a goalkeeper. 9 times out of 10, some of them have failed and some of them have succeeded. But the one player who has not succeeded, and this is not a knock on him, this is not going against him, this is a man who deserves all the respect in the world, even though we all know about what happened in Trinidad, but still though, Jozy Altidore could not do it in the Premier League. He should never have left AZ Alkmaar for that huge contract. The truth is, Jozy Altidore should have remained in the Netherlands because he had success there. He won a Dutch Cup title there. Instead, he wanted the bright lights of the Premier League in England. And let me just say this. The Premier League in world football, you know, regardless of, you know, if you're going to be in Germany in the Bundesliga, in Italy in Serie A, in Spain in La Liga, even, you know, if you want to be at PSG, you know, or in France in, you know, Ligue 1, you know, those are the big time leagues that you want to be in. But the truth is, the biggest stage, the brightest stage, and the more competitive stage in European football when it comes to the club football is the Premier League. Jozy Altidore, with his 2 stints in the Premier League, he just couldn't do it. And I will always maintain that Villarreal screwed him over. They should have loaned him out to a club in the second division or in the third division so he can get used to playing in Spain. And sadly, he got screwed over by Pellegrini. But once again, this is a positive start, a positive beginning for Christian Pulisic, because the Premier League, it doesn't matter where you come from, it doesn't matter what national team you play for, you could probably be the next best thing, whether it be for Mexico, whether it be for the United States, whether it be for Brazil or for Argentina. If you are not mentally ready to be in the Premier League, it will eat you alive. It will eat you alive. And that is why you got to take it with a grain of salt. At the moment, Pulisic has been well playing for Chelsea. Hat trick to open his scoring in the match before this past weekend, and then he gets another one to make it 4 in 2 matches. I have no doubt in his ability that Christian Pulisic will do some damage in the Premier League. The only thing that we have to understand, do not rush the kid. Do not rush him and make him, the last hope for the United States program or for American players that are supposed to cut it in Europe. He must have the opportunity to grow. Of course we believe in him. Of course we believe in the talents of Pulisic. But once again, we have to have a grain of salt and we have to throw caution to the wind. Do not rush him. Do not force him to do something rash. And at the same time, he shouldn't do anything rash either. Why do you think he was told to sit when he blurted out comments he shouldn't have on the manager and Frank Lampard? You know, success comes at a high price. Failure has a large spotlight over you when you're not doing the job you're supposed to do. And we all have to understand the Premier League will always be about pace. Not so much technical ability, but pace. But even more than just pace. How are you going to do in the bright lights of England, where it is the most watched league in the world? They want to be in England. They want to be a part of those clubs that have had so much history, and some that get promoted that want to start their own history in the Premier League. I'm not saying we can't be happy, and I'm not saying we cannot root for the kid, because we can. He's one of us. He's an American. If he can prove that a shadow of a doubt that, you know, he can be as consistent as they want him to be, then you know what? We're in. But he has to prove it match in and match out. This is not Dortmund. This is not Bayern Munich. This is the Premier League with Chelsea, Manchester City, Liverpool, Newcastle, Manchester United. These are the clubs that many of us that watch this league wants to be a part of, wants to celebrate a title, believes in what they are doing is proper football. Until then, we're just going to have to sit back, relax, and watch what is going on. Because as of right now, he's off to a good start. And guess what? It's beautiful to watch, and I love it. All right, everybody. Great show for you tonight, only for an hour, but that's okay. We're going to have on Derek Stowers of Dynamo Theory, talking about the brand new head coach of the club of the Houston Dynamo, and former U.S. Soccer under 20 head coach Tab Ramos, and of course, for me, native of Kearney, New Jersey, and of course, former U.S. men's national team midfielder. But in a recorded interview, right now, I have Mr. Dave Johnson, the play-by-play voice of D.C. United. Of course, he also is the radio play-by-play voice of the NBA's Washington Wizards. Mr. Johnson has been diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, and you know, it's very, very hard. One of the great voices of soccer in the United States when it comes to television. And all I can say is it's a pleasure to be in the same building with him whenever I get to see him either at Red Bull Arena when DC comes up or at Audi Field when the Red Bulls travel down. So here's that interview right now. Mr. Dave Johnson, television play-by-play voice of DC United.
This is Daniel Feuerstein once again, the American Soccer Show, as we talk about those moments in American soccer and a moment that I'm enjoying, as always, whenever I talk to the famous voices of our game, whether it is with MLS, the USL, or the national team. And joining me right now is a gentleman that is going through a battle of his own right now, and that is, of course, in my book, he should be a Hall of Fame broadcaster in the NBA as well as American soccer, the one and only, the head play-by-play voice on television for DC United, the one and only Dave Johnson. Dave, how are you, and good evening.
Well, first of all, thank you for the kind words. I've got to get that book. If I'm in your book, it's a Hall of Famer, so I certainly need to get that. But I appreciate you and so many other fans and friends that reached out to me. In fact, I'm still trying to catch up with people that reached out to me with my announcement that I do have primary progressive multiple sclerosis. That it's as I said, it's a new companion that I'm going to have now. Hopefully not for the rest of my life. There's no cure right now, but there's treatment and advances. And I did want to go public with it because it's nothing to hide. That's now my new reality. And and I also think, and until I've heard from people that it gives us courage to share a little bit because we're all going through something. You don't have to grade what you're going through. If you're going through it, it's the most important thing to you, and then we can help each other by showing that connection and kindness. Because as you walk by somebody at a soccer stadium in a concession stand, they're not just concerned about the price of hot dogs. They've got something going on in their life.
No, I agree with you there. Obviously, the article that was brought to my attention from one of my colleagues in Washington, D.C., was written and posted on October 24th. When did you first realize that you might have been diagnosed, or at least your own diagnosis, that you had multiple sclerosis?
Well, I was officially diagnosed October 4th. I had a suspicion it was heading this way, probably as I was undergoing more, extensive tests in September. I say extensive brain MRIs and that type of thing. And the thing that shocked me is, I was diagnosed with what is called primary progressive multiple sclerosis. In fact, I didn't even know there were different grades of it. When my mother had it in the 60s and 70s, and sadly passed away in 1979 from complications of it, there was, they didn't grade anything. It was just called multiple sclerosis, and it was pretty, broad and wide ranging with that covered. But now there's relenting and relapsing, if I'm saying that right, or remitting. I'm still so new to getting. I'm still wrapping my head around things. And then there's secondary, and then there's primary. So, that's the part that kind of hit me out of the blue. I thought that I'm just getting a first diagnosis. It not going to be labeled this. So, you know, not that that changes anything. Either way, you have to accept what you have and you know, try to do the best you can with it and you know, try to take advantage of whatever treatment. And in my case, there's, fortunately, and again, this is apparently the first any treatment of any kind for any form of MS was not until 1994, which is pretty incredible when you think about a disease that's been around for, you know, forever. And then there's now a treatment for primary progressive multiple sclerosis called Ocrevus, which we developed 2 years ago. So, I want to be given this situation, but you know, the timing is certainly better now than it would have been 3 years ago. So, for people and listening that are not familiar with multiple sclerosis, it is not a curable disease, and it is a disease that with these treatments are meant to slow it down and slow down its progress and its effects and its impact. And so, you know, that's the goal, and that certainly is the hope.
Like you said in the article that was written about you at the radio station, of course, you're the sports programming director over there. When did you notice the symptoms you started to have that your mother had a long time ago?
Well, you know, it was interesting. Apparently, I do have a bad knee, you know, and that you can just attribute to being an old guy. And as I was going through the Wizards season, I knew I had a bad knee. It was on my right side, and then I started to feel other symptoms on my right side or other problems on my right side, weakness in my right arm and my leg and my, you know, not just my knee, but I just, you know, naively assumed it had something to do with my knee because it was the same side and that type of thing. And so that, you know, as I went to address the knee situation, I brought up with the doctor that you know, I also have this and it's probably related to the knee. And he said, well, it's probably not related to the knee, and to get some tests. And as I started this process, I still thought my knee was my big problem and whatever else was going on with a pinched nerve or whatever. And so more people got, doctors said, well, we want to look at this, we want to look at that. And multiple tests and MRIs later, I ended up down the MS road, which was not a road I expected. I really just thought I had, you know, some kind of knee problem that was causing other problems, or if I had other problems, I didn't think it was MS.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds like a tough pill to swallow and right away. And, you know, I can't say anything about that. I mean, my father, that we've talked off the air about, you know, he's diagnosed with Parkinson's, and, you know, that's a pain in the butt as well. You know, you got to diagnose it, but obviously we all know it's not a curable disease. And hopefully, you know, the great doctors, of course, and scientists, hopefully they're going to find a way to, you know, not just so much find medicine to slow it down, but at least to cure this damn thing, which is sadly has taken over your body. But still, though, when you informed both DC United and the Washington Wizards of the NBA, you know, and all those people that love listening to your broadcast, of course, the radio party you and your analyst does for WTOP, you know, what has been the response by everyone that has contacted you, outside of me, of course?
Right. Well, it's, frankly, it's been somewhat a little embarrassing, but certainly overwhelming, and certainly not that I didn't think by, going public with it, there would be some kind of reaction, but I was, I've certainly shed some amazing tears of joy as I read some of the messages, and I'm still trying to get through those. And when I say get through those are sources of energy and inspiration. So everybody that did reach out to me, it does mean so much because it makes such a difference. And with anybody that's dealing with anything, you know, there's a mental component to trying to, you know, get your head in the right place and stay in the right place, and that kind of support makes all the difference in the world. So it is something that I couldn't ever have imagined, and certainly it gives me strength every day, and there's no question about that. I wanted to as I said, you know, I thought, you know, I'm just going to throw this out there just because if I'm dealing with fears and I'm scared, and other people are scared about what MS or whatever they're dealing with, then it's okay to be scared. It's okay to share that with each other. If you don't want to share what you're dealing with, that's okay too. It's very much a personal decision. You know, right now I don't walk as well as I used to, and more people are starting to ask me, you know, what's going on with this, and I thought, you know, instead of coming up with some fake excuse that, well, my knee's bothering me, which I guess still is, but the reality is the reason I'm walking a little bit slower is because of the multiple sclerosis, and so, you know, accept that, and this is how I'm going to be, and so, but the well wishes, and that's the lesson, and that's, you know, that's why we love, that's why I do what I do. I shared the, you know, the story of growing up with a mother who was in a wheelchair my entire life, but the happiest moments were always just when we went to games, and because for 3 hours that's such a wonderful escape from the realities of life. And I don't mean to say that the life is bad, life is good. I just mean that for 3 hours that, you know, if all you're worried about is whether somebody scores or whether you get a free T-shirt or whether you get on the KISS cam, then, you know, life's not bad, and it's a special place. I still enjoy getting to the arenas and stadiums and just seeing. It's my happy place, and still continues to be my happy place. And you know, the last you know, and it's something that I don't just draw on now. I've thought about it over the years several times, but the last sporting event my mother was able to attend was the Washington Diplomats NASL soccer opener in 1979 when they played the Fort Lauderdale Strikers, and the Diplomats won 2-1. And I can remember everything about that day, that feeling, and that was one of her last, you know, really good days. But this is why, you know, sports creates memories so much more beyond, you know, whatever win and loss, and then the community it creates through it is such a, and again, it gets back to what I talk about, the how we can all do something to support each other. The other day I got to the end of the day and I just felt like I couldn't do it anymore, and I was done, and I was laying flat on my back, and I got a call from somebody we both know, Phil Shane, who I'd not talked to in a long time, and you know, Phil and I had spent a month together in Germany in 2006 doing the World Cup for XM, and just hearing from him again, suddenly I had energy, and I could do things when before his phone call I felt like my day was done. So and so a phone call and a well wish to somebody is not an FDA approved drug. But it does make a difference on the body.
Yeah, no, that's great to hear, and I'm glad that you're able to use the medicine that was available for you to go forward. I want to put a smile on your face because I want to repeat something I said on my intro monologue last week on my show, and you know, you're a great dancer, if you don't mind me saying so, because I believe you work also for the NBC affiliate for WRC Television, I believe it is. And
that's where I'm speaking to you from there right now.
Oh, okay, wonderful. And you had your sports anchors. You played some pump up music, and all the lights are going off. The music's blaring, and here comes your crew. And then, of course, you're coming at the end of, shall I say, the conga line. And I said to myself, that was the best video on Twitter I have ever seen anyone do, whether they work in the media or not. You, sir, are funny, witty, and a damn good dancer.
Well, I appreciate all those comments. I'm not sure about the dancer part, but that is, we were doing something, and it's with my colleague and a great soccer person as well, Moises Linares, is the Telemundo anchor here in D.C., and we were just having some fun with a thing we called it a post-show pump, and it was not something that it just was something that aired on Twitter, and it just having some fun at the end of a long day. And it gets back to my theory about you never know what puts a smile on somebody's face or makes the difference. When we were just doing this is just a goofy thing, and the next thing you know, that gets more reaction than if we had solved all the world's problems. So that's again, people like like the laughs and people like the smile.
Absolutely. I know it put a smile on my face, and I was very happy to watch it. All I can say is just keep on fighting. Keep on doing what you're doing for the local Washington, D.C. area. Keep doing your radio parties with the Wizards. Keep on doing your games with D.C. United. And I've already said this to you, but I don't mind saying it again. I am here for you if you need it. I'm in your corner. Good luck with this situation. And, you know, just put that ball in the back of the net and have some fun. And thank you once again for coming on the show, and I truly appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate the time, and the same thing to everyone, to you and to everyone listening. Is, again, I mean it sincerely, that the community that is, however we get connected, why we get connected, is a great thing. I always enjoyed the connection, as you know, before, as you've been gracious to have me on your show several times before. I always like connecting with people, and even more so now. And if anybody, you know, wants to share their journey with me, or is looking for help or support, you know, you can always find me on Twitter at Dave J Sports. I get every message eventually.
Don't worry, we'll take our time with it. Thank you very much again, Dave.
Thank you.
And that's that is Dave Johnson, the play-by-play voice of DC United, going through, unfortunately, multiple sclerosis, and hopefully he can beat this thing and. And there will be a cure, so he can take it, and we'll have, and he can get back to regular life, of course. But of course, this will never stop him, nor this should stop anybody. Join me right now, of course, my SB Nation colleague Derek Stowers from Dynamo Theory. They have hired a brand new head coach, as Tab Ramos, the former U.S. international midfielder, as well as the former U.S. Under 20 head coach of U.S. soccer, has now been hired as the head coach of the Dynamo, and Derek joins me at this moment right now. Derek, good evening. How are you, and what's going on?
Hey, thanks again for having me. I'm doing all right. As you know, I had to leave my indoor game early, and I was on a hat trick, but I'm happy to join and talk about the Dynamo anyway.
Liar.
Hey. I was on. I should have had a hat trick. Honestly, I missed a couple that I should have had, but two goals and assists.
Yeah.
Not bad for number 10. You know.
Yep. No. Listen. Look. Wow. You do you, and you know. Hopefully, you'll get a hat trick next time. But we'll you know, make sure we'll get somebody to actually watch this happen, so we can get a video evidence of it. So then I can really critique what the hell you're doing out there. But other than that. You know, I, in all honesty, though, I think the Dynamo got a big get. I think it also helps that president of the Dynamo, Chris Kennedy, knows Tab Ramos, has watched him obviously from afar with being with U.S. Soccer in their Under 20 World Cup. I mean, obviously, he has done a lot of great things with the last 3 to 4 Under 20 World Cups, getting the program consecutively and consistently into the quarterfinals. I mean, to me, this is a no-brainer of a hire.
Yeah, for a lot of us Dynamo fans, he was at the top of our, you know, our coaching list, our, you know, who we want to see coach the Dynamo. But a lot of us didn't think it was realistic, just given how our club has been really spending money, or the lack thereof. We didn't think it was realistic. So just like everybody else, we were super surprised. And these the assistant coaches that he's brought on, Pablo Mastroianni and Omid Namazi, who's been his assistant before, I think are going to be two great coaches to help him adjust to playing at not the international level, but playing at a club level where you deal with different things. You know, you play more on a week-to-week basis rather than having – camps and breaks and things. But the other good thing is about the signing is it's really going to help the Dynamo youth, which for a club that doesn't spend a lot, you need to have a good development program so you can have good guys that you can develop and maybe sell or keep for the long term. There's not a lot of people, not a lot of players rather, that have come up through the Dynamo Academy system. The only two that are on the roster right now are Tyler Derrick. He's, I guess, not an academy product, but homegrown, and Memo Rodriguez. And apart from that, we don't have anybody. So I think that this hire is going to be good for both just the immediate future, but also long-term, looking long-term.
What was it about Tabaramos that you've watched? I know you've had a chance to watch a couple of these under-20 World Cups. Of course, the one that just recently was played this past summer. I forget where they were in the under-20 group, but, you know, just to see him, you know, getting his players ready to go. Tactics are very important, obviously. You know, some of the players, obviously, that were part of this under-20 group, even this last one, like Tim Weah, who scored a couple of good goals, obviously a couple of Dynamo players that he took in that he probably saw, you know, in the past as well. Just to see what he's done with players, either on the international level, playing for clubs abroad, as well as playing for clubs here in MLS, what was about Tab that you said to yourself, you know, I hope one day if the Dynamo are going to, if they do move on from Wilmer Cabrera, which obviously they have now, but, you know, what was that about Tab that you felt this guy was the one to move you into the next level?
Yeah, that's a good question. Honestly, I think the difference, it comes down to tactics and his, like I said before, his ability to bring up and develop at a very fast level talent and to implement his system. He plays really a more modern 4-3-3 that emphasizes a lot of higher pressing, possession-based. One of the things that I really like is he has a lot of players that kind of act as a what they call a regista, kind of like a Jorginho, Pirlo, deep-lying midfield midfielder playmaker. And that's the kind of thing that the Dynamo have been lacking. So if we can get that kind of player or develop that kind of player to be in our system, I think that would do a lot of good with the forwards and the attacking midfield players, just by allowing them to have service, not just flinging it over the top, hoping to counterattack using our speed, because that's a pretty one-note style of offense. And that's the kind of thing where I thought Wilmer Cabrera, with the players that we had, were not playing to the best of their abilities. They were not playing how they should, as well as they should have. They were a better team than that. And as a result, they were just dropping games. They were losing winnable games or drawing winnable games. And I've always said the difference between a good team and a bad team, or a great team rather, a great team can take draws that should be draws or losses and make those wins, and losses turn those losses into draws. And a bad coach, it's the other way around. And that's kind of what we saw from Wilmer Cabrera, very conservative tactics. Davey Arnaud, as an interim manager, I thought deserved a look because I liked what I saw from him, even though a lot of other people didn't. But it's just it's a massive improvement and an upgrade with Tab Ramos because he's already got a style of play that is conducive to the modern game. This lots of possession, playing it quickly, basically the kind of football that Greg Berhalter wants to implement but can't. I'd like to see that kind of stuff with the Houston Dynamo, and that's why a lot of us are excited.
Let me ask you this, and obviously, you know, we've been watching this national team so far, you know, Berhalter trying to play like Barcelona on a national team level, which I think that's impossible to do because it's not a club side that plays for their country. This is a national team. You're going to have all these different players playing in different systems, different tactics, different formations, and, you know, it's basically, you know, as a national team head coach, I mean, you're trying to throw the kitchen sink out there. You can't just all of a sudden implement a style that you'd like to do. I mean, you're going to have to stick with whatever has worked for, you know, since the beginning of time. And at the same time, you know, seeing that result in the CONCACAF Nations League match in Canada at BMO Field, I mean, that was a major disappointment because, I mean, it looked like to me, I don't want to say they gave up, but, you know, they've lost focus. And then we're watching this past Under-17 World Cup. You only score one goal in all three group stage matches, and that was the opening goal against Senegal. Then all of a sudden they fell apart. And then you're wondering to yourself, you know, what's the future for our national team, including the youth players? Because now, and I mean, it's a great hire for the Dynamo. I'm not poo-pooing it. But now you look at the U.S. national team, you're saying to yourself, you know, who's up next? Who's this Rafael Wicki? What has he done to show that he's a very good coach to lead these kids to become, you know, future players?
Yeah. I think Berhalter has struggled with – I think it's okay, especially out of the gate, to try and change, I guess, club culture or your – make a kind of style and try and work towards that. But at some point, you have to kind of figure out how am I going to get the best from these players that I have now if that style isn't working. So a good manager or a great manager needs to, at the end of the day, get results. And part of that's identifying what you're doing, if that's not working, and then trying to work with the players that you have in order to essentially get the maximum product on the field. Because, yes, you want to develop this chemistry and implement this style over time, but, you know, we're not missing another World Cup and, you know, walking away from that. So, definitely, and, yeah, I agree. Us taking Tab away definitely does a disservice to the youth U.S. team, but at the same time, he has implemented kind of that kind of culture that gets the most out of it. He's got a system, and hopefully somebody that's in that position now can take that and then further it in their own way, put their own mark on it, and hopefully we get at the senior level a solid quality product that maybe it is this Barcelona stuff, maybe it's not. We don't know what it'll look like or if we'll get there, if Berhalter will get there or if it will be somebody else. But whatever's going on right now, it's not working.
No, it's not. But that'll be another show for another time. But, you know, with Tab coming now to the Dynamo at BBVA Compass Stadium, what will he do with the current roster that it's constructed as of right now? What do you see him doing with, obviously, like Kyoto, other players on Houston that either had some, you know, good moments but are lacking in some other in some other play on the pitch? You know, what do you think he's going to do for this roster, and how is he going to, you know, get them excited for 2020? Because, you know, what he has done with the under-20s for the U.S. soccer, for the youth national team, has been incredible. I don't think we've ever seen anyone this, I wouldn't say just dedicated to the craft of, you know, developing not so much of developing, but getting American youth players to, you know, be ready for a serious style of play, as well as, you know, having the, I would definitely say having them prepared to go forward as a professional. But now you've got a guy in Houston who's going to take professionals, and he's going to tell them, listen, we're going to do something a little different. We're going to be a little bit more direct, probably. We're going to show some style. We're going to show some flair. You know, what do you think the current players on this roster is going to accept from Tab Ramos? And who do you think he might get rid of, if you can answer that question?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And having heard him speak about some of this, he's excited. He obviously can't talk about some of the things that are going on behind closed doors, and I haven't heard anything apart from rumors. There's a lot of uncertainty with this roster. Albert Elise, Mauro Manotas, and Romel Kyoto as well, which is weird to think, because at the beginning of last season, that was our starting front three. And I think any coach would love to have either any of those players. I think that there is a chance we lose one, maybe all of them, maybe two. Kyoto, I would say, is going to be gone. He became a bit of a problem at the a locker room problem at the end of the season, getting silly red cards, and even Davy Arnault, because this started before him, wouldn't even put him in the 18. So I think the organization's ready to move on from him, which is a shame because he's a good player when he's his head's on his shoulders. I think it's going to be a fun offseason and a fun problem to have because whoever stays, he is looking to increase the amount of youth, kind of in a similar vein as, say, Frank Lampard with Chelsea. I follow Chelsea, so I talk about them a lot. But they were in a position where they were forced to play a lot of younger people. But now we're also in a position where we can cash in on some of these players and bring some up and keep some alongside them. So it'll be fun to see how things play out.
No, absolutely. I mean, why not? And I agree with you. I mean, Kyoto, I remember the Red Bull game where they defeated the Red Bulls 4-0 at BBVA Compass Stadium. But, yeah, he showed some immaturity. You don't understand why he would play these silly, stupid games for no reason. You're up 4-0. What's the point of doing this? But, you know, unfortunately, if a player's not happy, he's going to pull these little shenanigans to try and have himself removed, a la Antonio Brown. But that's a different sport for a different time. But still, though, I understand where you're coming from, and it's a silly, stupid thing. But, look, we don't know what's in the mind of these players. We don't know what they're thinking. We don't know, you know, do they want to stay? Do they want to leave? What are they using this league as a stepping stone to bigger and better things? You know, we'll see what happens, but – I mean, I don't blame you for feeling like this because, you know, Kyoto is supposed to be a danger man. I think it would be a mistake by Ramos to, if he does find a way to move on from Mauro Minotas, because I thought he's definitely worked himself brilliantly to become a starting player and at the same time to go out and earn his starting role. And I mean, you're more in tune to what's going on down there with him, but I truly believe that, you know, Minotas is the future of the Dynamo, and, I mean, for goodness sakes, he won you an Open Cup title last season.
Yeah, and just seeing him and his relationship grow with Christian Ramirez was one of the bright spots towards the end of the season. Those two had chemistry instantly, and they both played in similar roles, so it'll be interesting to see how that goes forward with under Ramos, but that's what's exciting about getting a new coach is, you know, and the off season in general is you don't know who stays, who goes. MLS is fun that way. Sports is fun that way.
No, absolutely. We gotta have fun somewhere. So, okay, Mr. King of Indoor Soccer, I'll try not to bring you back on when there's a game. And please get that hat trick or get four goals if you can.
I will. Thanks again for having me on.
No problem at all. Thanks for coming on. I'll talk to you during the off season as well as the game ready for 2020. Have a good night, Derek. Thank you so much.
Thanks. You too.
Thank you. That's Derek Stowers, SB Nation colleague from Dynamo Theory, as Tab Ramos, now the head coach of the Dynamo. You know, that's going to change a lot. There's a lot of things going on there. And all you can say is that for the Dynamo, look, this is a no-brainer. You want to get someone with better ideas, has a better track record with youth players, then, you know, by all means, you know, bring him on. Let him show you what he's able to do, just like what he's done for the national team. And as we're about to close, excuse me, sorry. As we're about to close up this show for tonight, I am very disappointed in the under-17s in how they crashed out of the under-17 World Cup in Brazil. 0-3 with only 1 point and one goal converted while being scored on 8 times. That's a -7 on the differential. I don't know what Rafael Wicky is going to do. I do not know what will become of him if the U.S. Soccer does either keeps him there or they move on from him. But the truth of the truth of the matter is this. Raphael Wiki has failed. Raphael Wiki, in my opinion, he has failed very badly, Raphael Wiki. It is just a complete and utter disgrace to see this under 17 failing miserably. And the only reason why this man was allowed to stay there was they felt he was the right man for the job, and he's not. See, we have to hold our national team as well as this federation, who is the governing body of the sport in this country. We have to hold them accountable for the sad stuff that we've been watching here. I'm just very, very disappointed. I'm very upset because, in my opinion, and I've said this on Twitter many, many times, this national team is not built to build from the back. This national team, is a meat and potatoes team that I believe loves the press, loves to attack, loves to just go at it, and as of right now, they don't have it. Building from the back means either you have the players for this system or you don't. And when I say these moments, I'm not trying to intentionally go after Greg Berhalter. What I am saying is that at this point in time, U.S. Soccer has done a poor job of hiring people that has put players in poor positions that they're not comfortable in, and going against the grain. Going against the grain, and we're just not watching what we need to watch. We're watching players either not feeling comfortable or maybe they just don't feel comfortable being with Berhalter. I don't know what goes on over there. I don't know what goes on in these national team camps before these matches come up. Very soon, after this coming Monday, after this coming Sunday, after the MLS Cup final between Seattle and Toronto, our national team will be heading down to Orlando, Florida, Explora Stadium, the Purple Palace on Church Street, to take on Canada again, this time on American soil in the CONCACAF Nations League. And then the following Tuesday, they got to travel to Cuba and take on the Cubans. Now, once again, the match against Cuba means nothing. That's an automatic 3 points because those games against a nation like Cuba that, you know, we don't, you know, they're not as strong or as good enough as they should be, whether, you know, it'll be here in the States or on the island over there in the Caribbean. The truth is very simply put, this is going to be a destruction. Part two. The most important match right now for this national team, for the U.S. men's national team, is the match against Canada, because the difference – you can say to me Canada is not as, you know, good with developing talent as the U.S. men's national team is, but that's not the point. The point is that they showed more heart and more desire than our national team did. And that's the one thing right now that's irritating. That is what's irritating. Because as I've said this before on that special report, don't blame Canada for taking the game seriously because they wanted it. They wanted it. And Canada has every right, regardless of what you may think about the opponents on the schedule for the U.S. men's national team, Canada had every right to go for it. They did. They won. Period. Plain and simple, period. Because they want to get to a World Cup too. We all know that this Nations League thing is for Gold Cup seeding, getting into the Gold Cup. But the truth of the matter is this, is that this helps them with World Cup qualifying seeding as well. Because what happens if the USA gets knocked out of this Nations League thing, and they get relegated to League B? They're out of the Gold Cup. Or they get their butts saved because they are, you know, because they are the North Zone automatic representatives. But then you're seeing the setup for World Cup qualifying, and the United States is not even going through the motions. They automatically, along with Mexico and Costa Rica and all these other nations, they automatically go to the hex, while everyone else, including Canada, fights for that half spot so they can take on whoever they get drawn with for the international playoffs. And that is why I have said this many, many, many times. I don't assume the United States is going to make it. I do not assume it's an automatic. They have to play the game. They have to go on the pitch. They have to show why they are one of the top nations in the region of CONCACAF. And they also have to show why they are going to be one of the sides that's going to be in CONCACAF, in world football. Why they must show they are on par with a Germany, with a Spain, with an Italy, and any other national team right now. The truth of the matter is this, and if the truth hurts, guess what? I don't have a Scottish accent. I don't work for ESPN. I don't work for Fox Sports. I don't have an English accent, and I'm not Alexi Lalas. This national team is in trouble. Absolute trouble. Why is it in trouble? Because I'll tell you why. Because whoever we believe should be given those important positions to head coach the under-17s, the under-20s, Olympic qualifying is coming very soon. Our top players coming out of MLS academies, of all MLS clubs and USL clubs, wherever they come from. You know what? It's time. It's time to stop messing around. It's time to stop playing politics by giving this guy the head coaching job. Because why? Because he knows the president of U.S. Soccer. I'm not saying it's true. I'm just saying it as an example. He knows this guy in U.S. soccer. He knows that guy in U.S. soccer. He knows he's friends with the national team coach. He's friends with this guy. He's friends with that guy. He's friends with the, you know, this guy who was once the national team head coach. No. You get the people that you know that can put our kids and our players, young or old, into the proper positions and to succeed in attacking, scoring, defending, playmaking, and putting the beat down on these opponents, whether it is someone like St. Martin, Bermuda, Cuba, Bahamas, or when you have to go out and battle, scratch, claw, fight, do the same things to them as they have done to you, like Mexico, like Costa Rica, like Panama, now a power, Honduras, El Salvador, Nicaragua, Guatemala. And you also have to watch your back because someone could sneak in, like Canada. This is where, right now, there is a huge question mark, a huge question mark right now for our national team, for our players. Because I believe we have talented players. But we need the right coaches and the right managers to go out there and mold them, shape them, make them do what we expected them to do. There's not another Landon Donovan coming. There's not another Tony Meola. There's not another Tab Ramos. There's not another Clint Mathis. There's not another Clint Dempsey. Not another Brian McBride. No Josh Wolfs. No Kobe Jones. No Marcelo Balboas. No Landon Donovans are coming. The next wave right now, are they being put in the proper positions to go out and dominate? Because right now, we're still clinging on to Michael Bradley. We're still clinging on to Jozy Altidore. Josh Sargent is next. Sergino Dest is now with this national team. Christian Pulisic is here. Zach Steffen is here. Even though we got Brad Guzan, it's a very good backup. Can be a starter for Berhalter whenever he can. We have Jordan Morris. We have Josh Sargent, Tim Weah. It's now time to stop messing around. It's now time to stop acting like this is the one that's going to do it. Oh, we're going to play him out of position. Waiting for Tyler Adams to recover from his groin issue. But as of right now, these are the players that we have. And these are the players that are going to be getting ready for World Cup qualifying and another round of a Gold Cup in 2 years. This is the hope that we're supposed to have for this national team. Do we have the right people to mold and shape these players into what it should be? That is the biggest question of all right now. And as of right now, the question mark is large and big, and it's scary right now because no one knows if we are going to qualify for another World Cup. Many were hoping this was a blip on the radar, and as of right now, the blip is becoming a huge spot. You ever seen a sinkhole before? Well, it's very large right now, and we don't know what's going to happen. We'll have to wait and see. It's all we can do right now, wait and see and hope there'll be progress and improvements. And until then, well, we won't know. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank my guests tonight. Of course, Dave Johnson, the play-by-play voice of DC United, as well as the NBA's Washington Wizards on his fight with multiple sclerosis. Derek Stowers, again, Dynamo Theory, my SB Nation colleague, talks about the hiring of Tab Ramos as the brand new head coach of the Dynamo. Ma, thank you very much for listening to me. My name is Daniel Feuerstein. Have a good night, everybody, and please, as always, enjoy your football. Have a good night. Take care. So long. And bye-bye for now. Don't forget this Sunday, 3 Eastern, noon Pacific, the Seattle Sounders hosting Toronto FC, the MLS Cup Championship Final, live in the States on ABC, Univision Deportes, and in Canada, TSN. Once again, have a good night. Take care. So long, and bye-bye for now. Have a good night, everybody.